This U.S. government newsreel shows well-nourished children happily drinking milk inside a World War II internment camp.
Special emphasis was put on the health and care of these American children of Japanese descent.
Sally Sudo was there. She recalls a different reality.
The buildings were so terribly built that the sand would actually come through, you know, the tar paper, and settle all over on your food and everything. And that was your food to eat, so you did the best you could and ate what you could. And then you'd go back to your room, and everything would be covered with that very fine sand.
Sudo, who now lives in Minnesota, was just 6 years old when the government pried her family from their Seattle home.
Well, all I remember is there was a lot of confusion, and I could see the stress on my parents' part.
It was spring 1942. Just months earlier, Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor, prompting the U.S. to enter World War II. Anti-Japanese sentiment surged, so President Franklin Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066.
Military authorities therefore determined that all of them, citizens and aliens alike, would have to move.
The order forced 120,000 Japanese Americans into internment camps, including Sudo's family.
First attention was given to the problems of sabotage and espionage. Now, here at San Francisco, for example,
they were afraid of acts of espionage or sabotage, of which none was ever committed by any person of Japanese ancestry in the United States.
When the government sent her family away, they rode on a train with armed guards to a desolate area in southern Idaho.
When we get out, we see nothing but sand and sagebrush and greasewood. I mean, we're obviously in a very desert-like area.
Her home in the camp lacked running water. Electricity consisted of a single light bulb hanging from the rafters. Sudo spent 3 years at the internment camp.
We always opened every school day by saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And, you know, it's kind of ironic that we would say in liberty and justice for all, and here we are in these prison camps.
One of her older brothers enlisted in the Army in 1944. His knowledge of the Japanese language placed him in the Military Intelligence Service Language School, which was located at Fort Snelling in Minnesota.
People like my older siblings, they went to Japanese school after regular school. It's just like Jewish kids go to Hebrew school, that kind of thing.
At the time, fewer than 100 Japanese Americans lived in the state. Kimi Tanaka is a historic interpreter with the Minnesota Historical Society.
It's likely that Minnesotans had never really even interacted with anybody who was of Japanese descent.
The military language school changed that. It brought more than 6,000 soldiers to the state. After the war, language school veterans helped grow Minnesota's Japanese American population to more than 1,000. Sudo's brother was among them. He bought a house for the family in Minneapolis, near Minnehaha Falls.
We were the first Japanese to ever move into that neighborhood. We got hate mail to begin with. We don't want any Japs in the neighborhood. You know, get out or else.
However, the Lutheran church across the street welcomed them.
I think it was through them that we were able to adjust as well as we did.
But for Sudo, who's now 82 and lives in Edina, the psychological effects of the internment camp stayed with her for decades.
I grew up with that feeling that there's something wrong with being Japanese. I kind of looked down on it.
Sudo didn't embrace her ethnicity until years later.
I think people today need to know how easily something like this could happen again, because the next time it could be you.
For KFAI, I'm Joey Peters.